desired interest in your attention, your prayers this morning for a little bit.
To write on the board, or pile.
My writing got a little scrambled. It's Stewardship of Possessions, Part 2. This is a continuation of last Sunday. I'd like to continue that series and that subject. You know, I was thinking about all of the different kinds of messages and subjects that can be preached about, that are preached about. And with all of them that all come from the hope of the gospel, we want them to be challenging, encouraging, to have our souls fed. And I'm trusting that the Lord will help us in this series too, in these subjects that deal with practical application, specific application in our life, that the Lord would bless them to us because it is the Word of God. Near the conclusion of last Sunday's message, several points were summarized, and maybe we'll start there. And the first is that we've spent a little bit of time recognizing that our possessions really we're not entitled to, per se, even though sometimes it might feel like it, because we do make effort, perform work, labor for what we have, but really, when you look a little bit deeper, those things that we have been entrusted to us by God. They're a gift that He's allowed us to have. And we find in the Scripture, and maybe even in life, you can look around and see that there are times where God chooses to take away. He can take away very quickly those things that we have. And so they've been entrusted to us. They're a gift for us to honor the Lord with. And the second thing is that we spoke of is that God measures our faithfulness according to how we manage what we do possess. And so it touches all of us. These aren't messages or truths that just apply to those with a certain amount, but the Lord looks and measures our faithfulness according to how we manage what we do have. Whether small or great, in the third chapter of Proverbs, the ninth verse, maybe we'll read the ninth verse in its entirety. It says, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so this and other verses then speak to and give purpose to the way by which we earn money, the way by which we spend and save and give. And the Scriptures teach us that in all of these things, we want to do it in a way that honors the Lord. And three, because He has called us as people of God, He's called us to live honestly. Maybe we'll write these on the board. Honestly, the Scripture teaches us to be moderate and temperate. So moderation. And as we write these, would ask you to note how these apply to our possessions, to how we earn, to how we spend, to how we save, to how we give. Honestly,
in moderation. The scripture teaches us generosity. Contentment. And maybe this is a subset or encompasses a lot of these. Eternal investment.
Doesn't the scripture teach us about all of those? Honesty, moderation, generosity, contentment, eternal investment. And so stewardship of possessions then is about well more than just managing or maximizing our resources for our own personal gain, but that we do it in a way that honors the Lord. Again, our lives are about much more than how much we possess, but how we possess. You take that one word out and it completely changes the meaning. Our lives are about more than how much we possess, but is how we possess. And I would just like to say this too before we go any further, mentioned this last Sunday. These truths that are taught in Scripture and that we're endeavoring by the help of the Lord to teach here, it's a little different kind of message than sometimes we spend time on Sunday mornings, but it's Bible. And I think that we should keep in mind that the Lord is not with these truths. In the Scriptures, I don't find where the Scriptures teach that He is looking to put us in bondage in life in any way, to where we somehow believe that scarcity living places us, I believe last Sunday I said, at the pinnacle of spirituality. Because sometimes people can get that idea. I also don't find anywhere in the Scriptures where the Lord is wanting us to live in fear, where every time we turn around to spend something for our enjoyment, that this voice is constantly there causing us to be in question of, well, I don't know, maybe you shouldn't have done that. Should you do something else? Should you do this? And we constantly live in this fear and bondage and never be able to have peace with our earning, our spending, our saving, our giving. I don't find that in the Scripture. However, there's a whole lot in the Bible that teach about those sorts of things. And so it is a call to us all to be a guiding light for us as Christians in these things, as followers of Christ. Not to go too far to the right, not to go too far to the left. And so I'm inspired to think about some of these things as it has to do with that practical application of something every one of us comes face to face with some point in life: earning, spending, saving, giving. So I'd like to start with this piece about honesty. Being honest before God and before man is foundational to Christian living. Being honest with ourselves and being honest with God and being honest with those that we're around, you can find scriptures about that all through the Bible. It's well established, but I feel like that that it would be good to reinforce a few points, even though it is well established. There's a verse in Proverbs 11:1, and it says, A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. You remember that verse? I'll read it again. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Do you know what a false balance is? I'll try to draw one. False balance. Do you see anything wrong with this picture? If this is a balance, and this is the side right here that the poor soul that is buying vegetables for their family gets their vegetables and puts them on here, and then the one that is selling them is going to then place weights on this side to see how much they need to charge the person that's buying the vegetables. And so they're going to put a weight on this side that is supposedly equivalent to the weight that's been put on that side. This would not balance out properly. You're going to end up having to put more weight on this side than you are on this side to make this balance. And there's all different ways that a false balance can be designed. You can make one side or the other heavier than the other. You can mislabel your weight. So you say, well, this is 8 ounces. And really, it's 4 ounces or some such thing. A false balance is an abomination. Where when you do business with other people, you misrepresent truth. You say, well, I didn't say anything. All I did was just put weight on this side and weight on this side, and then I charged them, but it misrepresented. A misrepresentation of truth in your business dealings. And misrepresentations can take on many, many different forms. And this scripture says that a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord. Dishonest business practices aren't small sins. That's what this is saying here. They're abominations. And so when we do business in the world, with other people, with God, we want to do it in a way that is honest, that accurately represents truth. Psalm said in 37:21, the wicked borrows but doesn't pay back. That's pretty strong words too. Have you ever remember a time in school when that one person would come up and they would say all of the right things and beg you to just loan them some money because they needed some money for this and that, and you were their friend and they really liked you and you guys went back a long ways and they're going to pay you back next week. They promised you they're going to do this, and they just knew all the things to say, and so you loaned them the money. And then next week came along, it was like no big deal, and you never saw your money. Where people are willing to get and say what they need to say to get what they want, but then when it comes time to pay back, there really isn't the same sense of urgency. This says the wicked borrows but doesn't pay back. He's not talking about those that get in situations that is beyond their control. This speaks to motive. Wickedness speaks to the heart. Proverbs 3:27 says, don't withhold what is due when it is in your power to pay. Don't withhold what's due when it's in your power to pay. We're talking about being honest Christians. It's not a very good representation of a Christian if I know that I owe somebody something. I committed to them. I'll pay you this, and maybe you've gotten something from them in return, and you have the wherewithal to pay them that which is due, but for whatever reason you decide, well, I guess, you know what, I just don't feel like doing that. Or, you know what, I really wanted that new fishing pole, and I know I committed to them that I was going to pay them back this week for what they generously gave to me some time back, and they're counting on it, but I didn't know that I was going to go fishing next week, and this pole just looks really good. Or I really want this car. I mean, we can get in higher dollars than just fishing poles. And we can get into places where we then, when someone's do something, we divert those resources to, in essence, pay ourselves again. But this scripture teaches us we shouldn't do that. Don't withhold that which is due. And then it can go a little further than that, because what we can do is not be careful about what we owe people and go spend our money on ourselves, and then there's nothing left, and then we say, well, I would give you if I could. If I had it, I'd give it to you, but I don't, so I'm not able to. But the reason that you don't have it is because you gave some more back to yourself. You follow me? And so the scripture says, don't withhold what's due when it's in your power to pay. Let's just be sure about these sorts of decisions that we make in life as Christians, as we do business with those that are in the world and we interact with other people. We want to be honest. Because one of these days, these sorts of things will likely come up again before our Father, the judge, one day. And we'll have to give an account for the degree by which we were honest with how we did our business practices. Why? Because dishonesty in how we earn money not being honest and upright in how we spend money, as we just noted, because that can affect commitments that you made to other people or other responsibilities that you have in our saving, in our giving. They're not just bookkeeping issues. They're not just financial issues. These are spiritual failures. If we fail in our bookkeeping and we fail financially, it can be spiritual failures too. And God calls his people to be honest people. He calls his people to be people of integrity. And I want to live a careful life. I want to live my life in a way that Brother Shane mentioned this morning. He asked us a question. He said, what is your name? And he meant more than what name did your parents give you. But what does your name mean? What is your name? And I thought about that as I was sitting there. That's pretty deep. What does your name mean? I want to live my life so that at least one of the things that my name means is that I'm honest, that I live with integrity, that to the best of my ability, I keep my word. I want to be counted in that number. Maybe we can fit one more in today. Moderation. What does moderation mean? Does the scripture teach about moderation? It does. Moderation includes self-control. Not in excess. Moderation. Balance. These are definitions. Self-control, balance, not in excess. And again, I know I keep reminding, but these things can apply to a lot of areas. And my particular burden with this little series is right where we live every day, in our spending, in our giving, in our saving, that we do it in moderation, with self-control, with balance, not in excess. And the scripture consistently warns against extremes, and it calls on us to be a people that are a steady people, a sober people, a people that are governed by the Spirit. And in fact, in the fifth chapter of Galatians, the scripture teaches us that one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance, which is moderation and avoiding excess, even in those things that may otherwise be good, but that can be taken too far. You know, you can take some things that are good too far to the point that it's not moderate anymore, and it begins affecting your ability in other areas of life to live as the Lord would have us to live. Proverbs 25 and 16 had a kind of a graphic verse that describes this. It says, if you find honey, honey's a good thing, right? If you find honey, eat just enough. Because if you eat too much, it says you'll vomit. So, too much of a good thing can lead to something that is not so good. And this can go into all areas of our life. You know, I think about saving money. I'm a proponent of being a good steward and saving to prepare, to be diligent about knowing that tomorrow may come and I'll have a responsibility for tomorrow. And the Lord wants me to think about that and how I spend today because of tomorrow. That's a good thing, to do some saving for that. But if I say, well, saving is a good thing, and so then I get so wrapped up in it in a way that everything that comes in has to be saved, to the point that I begin to neglect the needs of my family, real needs of the day, neglect the needs of the Lord because it all has to be put away, then a good thing ends up turning into something that's not so good. Yes, enjoy the things that God has given us to enjoy, the fruit of our labor, what you've been blessed with, but the scripture teaches not to excess. So more is not always better. Less is not always better. Less is not always more spiritual. Sometimes, again, mentioned that earlier, sometimes we feel like that the less I can live with, that must necessarily mean that I'm more spiritual. Not necessarily. Lord, help us to understand how to be moderate. Moderation, then, is not just about more. Moderation is not just about less, but moderation also includes wisdom. Lord, help me to understand what's just right. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12, he said, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. It might be a lawful thing for you to do. And again, that verse can apply to many things in life. I'm thinking of our possessions. All things are lawful. I might have the dollars and cents to spend today on this. And it's lawful. It's my money. It's been entrusted to me. It's not somebody else's. I'm not stealing. I can buy this, okay, but it might not be the wisest thing. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And you know, we're all different. We're in different places of life. We have different circumstances. We make different decisions that not everybody is privy to. And so we also have to be careful about how we judge one another. Because sometimes we as people can look at how somebody else is spending, and sometimes we think we know what they're saving when we really don't. Sometimes we judge on what we think that they're giving, and we can completely get it wrong. And so we have to be really careful that we look inward on these things, and that we are very careful about judging other people along these lines. Luke 21 does give us a verse that applies to all of us. It says, "Take heed unto yourselves." And so right at the very beginning of that verse, the writer, and I believe it was Jesus, wanted to get our attention that this is for you. It's not for anybody else, but this verse now is going to be for you. Apply it to your own lives. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, not somebody else, but yours, be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell in the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, again, that ye might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and be able to stand before the throne of God. This verse speaks to so many things on so many fronts. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time, any day, as you live life, when you get up in the morning and you go through the day, this day applies. It's not always if that big thing might happen down the road some other time. But take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time you allow your heart to be overcharged in a way that honesty slips, that moderation, that temperance begins to slip. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, very much an absence of moderation. Drunkenness, you know, we can become intoxicated with so many things in life. We can become just intoxicated with it. Things we look at, things we listen to, things that we spend our time on, we can become drunk in those things where it's no longer moderate at all. And cares of this life, things that are otherwise good, things that all of us have responsibility to attend to. But it says, just be careful lest moderation slips and you become overcharged. Lord, help all of us with these things. An important note here. Moderation is not a license for just a little bit of sin. You say, well, I'm moderate in the things that I do wrong. I'm careful that when I do lie, I do it within moderation. If I'm a little bit dishonest, well, I'm careful that I don't take dishonesty too far. The scripture teaches that there are some things like dishonesty and stealing and greed, absence of purity, you know, the list goes on, where it says thou shalt not. Those aren't things to be moderate in. Moderation, this applies to lawful things, not sinful things. So be careful about justifying yourself in those things that you know is wrong because you say, well, it's just a white lie. Well, it's not really that much. And so it shouldn't be that bad. I'm moderate with it. Moderation applies to lawful things, not sinful things. And so again, in Proverbs 3 and 9, it says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your substance. Those things that He's entrusted unto you, honor the Lord with it. And maybe just a few specific items to reinforce in conclusion this morning, because I feel like they're so important. Do you know what one of the leading causes of marital issues are in the world? And by extension, spiritual. That cause difficulty in the home, that cause stress, that divide marriages. It is not being moderate in your endeavor to earn, not being moderate in spending, not being moderate in saving and in giving. And I believe that's one of the reasons why there's so much said about that in the Word of God. Because it causes so much marital and spiritual trouble. Spending money on things that you don't have to spend it on. Having gross imbalances in how you manage your home and the possessions that you have, where you're not moderate, where you in excess maybe give your resources to this thing over here, and it causes an imbalance in these other responsibilities, perhaps to your spouse, to your children. Folks, we can get ourselves so far into debt on wants, on just things that we want. We don't have to have them, we don't need them, but we want them. And so we can get ourselves so far into debt on those things and not be moderate and balanced in how we manage those things that God has given us to steward, that it can create so much imbalance in our lives that it introduces much stress in our home culture to the point that it divides families and it causes problems in our relationship with the Lord. And so, because of these things, the Scriptures teach about them, and by the help of the Lord, we're endeavoring to spend a little bit of time on them here too, that God would help us know how to be good stewards, to be balanced, to be moderate, to be honest in the decisions that we make with our possessions. The Lord's not asking us not to enjoy the fruit of our labor. That's not the message at all. That's not Scripture that I find, but the Word does teach us to be moderate for our own good, for the good of those that are relying on us, for the good of the kingdom, because God asks us to manage the possessions that He gives us ultimately to honor Him. And so personally this morning, I go back to that question that was asked in Sunday school this morning. What is your name relative to these things? What are you known by? How does God know you relative to these things? And is there a place in our lives that He might be calling us to be a better steward of what He has entrusted to us? I want to be faithful in my own life. I want a purpose to be a disciple that practices honesty, practices moderation as I endeavor to be a good soldier of the one that has called me to serve Jesus Christ. Pray for me. I want to be true in these sorts of things. Amen.